I'd encourage you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. We're going to be studying from this text this morning as we take a look at a passage that is called the Great Commission. Grateful for the presence of each and every one who's here on this Lord's Day. So many who are here, those who are visiting with us, as always, you're our honored guest. Whether you've come from us from some other place or from across town, it does not matter. You're an honored guest, and we're so glad you've come our way. Hope that you have your Bible out as well. If you have any questions about anything that you hear or you observe while you're with us, let us know. We'd be grateful for the opportunity to sit down with you with an open Bible and discuss any questions that you may have. Let's begin by reading our text this morning, Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. It says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Matthew's Gospel closes with this passage that we refer to as the Great Commission. What's interesting, as you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you find that actually all four gospel accounts contain their own version of this Great Commission. And the book of Acts begins with the Great Commission, or with the commissioning of the apostles to go and to preach the gospel. The Great Commission really is the apostles' marching orders. It's what the Lord left them with. And the book of Acts that we have in the New Testament is a record of the partial fulfillment of the Great Commission. It doesn't follow every apostle and look at everything that they did, but it does show how they began to obey this command to go and to make disciples. I want us to take a look at the Great Commission for a few moments this morning. And I want us to consider what it is that makes it great. Why do we call it the Great Commission? What's so great about it? And as we look at it and look at what made it great for the apostles, we're also going to look at ourselves. And we're going to learn some things that we need to learn today about evangelism and about our personal efforts to spread the gospel to those who are lost around about us today. And so we're looking at this passage, finding application for us today. What is it that makes the Great Commission so great? Well, the word "all" is found a number of times in these three verses. And so we're going to look at the places where the word "all" or a form of the word "all" is used. And in focusing on these, I believe we'll have an appreciation of what it is that makes the Great Commission so great. Let's begin in verse 18 and notice that this commission was given with all authority. Before he commissioned his apostles, Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Authority has to do with right or power. What right do you have to do that? What power do you have? What power has been given to you in order to make those decisions or do those things? That's what's meant by authority. Jesus, before he left this earth, told his apostles, "I have all authority. I have all authority." And what's interesting, as you read through the Gospel of Matthew really is stressing and emphasizing the authority of Jesus Christ. The authority of his doctrine is pointed out in several places. Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. The different parables that he gave, especially the kingdom parables in Matthew chapter 13, and the encounters that Jesus had with his enemies in Jerusalem the last week before he died. In all these passages, we see the authority in our Lord's doctrine, that is, in his teaching. His authority over nature, over sickness, and over demons is shown in the miracles that are recorded in the Gospel of Matthew. We have his teaching, and then we have his miracles that support his teaching. So his authority over these things is shown. And of course, his power, or his authority over death, is shown in his own resurrection. that's recorded earlier here in Matthew chapter 28. So as you read through the Gospel of Matthew, you see the authority of Jesus Christ. And here at the very end, he says, I have all authority. Now when Jesus says, all authority has been given unto me, we need to understand that all means all. Jesus has all authority. There's none that belongs to anyone else. Jesus has authority, not the church, not a council, not a representative left here on earth, but Jesus has all authority. And with that authority, he told his apostles to go and make disciples. He gave them a command. We call it a commission, but really it's a command, isn't it? I have all authority. I have the right to tell you what to do, and here's what you do. You go and you make disciples. They had to go, and that's what the book of Acts shows us, is how to go. Jesus didn't tell them, now listen, you just sit there and you wait, and everybody that comes to you, you teach them. No, he said you go, and as a rule, we have to go. Jesus taught earlier about going and seeking and saving those who are lost. In Matthew chapter 19, Jesus is being criticized for being at the house of one that the Jews have considered to be a sinner. And what are you doing going to the house of this tax collector? He's a sinner. And Jesus says in verse 10, Luke 19 verse 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's what Jesus did. He came to seek and to save. Little surprise, he tells his disciples, go and make disciples. Told the apostles that. Well, they're simply doing, in fulfilling the Great Commission, they're simply doing the work that Jesus came and began. Seek and save the lost. Go and make disciples. So it's the Great Commission because it tells the followers of Christ to go and involve themselves in this important work of saving the lost. And that's what we need to do. We need to go. And we need to seek those who are lost. There are times that we have visitors who come into the building. I've seen that happen here. I've seen it happen in other places that someone just wanders by and walks in off the street. But as a general rule, they don't. That's why we have to go to them. Go make disciples. Go seek and save the lost. The Great Commission is great not only because it gives us an important work to do with the authority of Christ, but because it tells us how to do that work. That is, it equips us to do that work. In Mark's account of the Great Commission, in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. That's how disciples are made. That's how the lost are saved. Through the preaching of the gospel, not by offering food and fun and fellowship, not by offering different ideas or offering different programs to the community, but by preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is the power of God to salvation to all those who believe. And we have been commissioned by the Lord who has all authority to preach the gospel, to seek and save those who were lost, to go and to make disciples. So, it is the Great Commission because it is given by the Lord who has all authority. But there's much more to it than this. What makes it the Great Commission is that it is universal in scope. Jesus told the apostles to go into all the nations, to all the world and all nations. The gospel is a universal command. The command to believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. It is a universal command because mankind has a universal problem. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And thus, there's a universal need. The gospel is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek or to the Gentiles. To the Jews and to the Gentiles. In the first century, that covered everyone. Because if you weren't a Jew, then you were something else. You were anything else other than a Jew. You were a Gentile. That covers all of mankind. The gospel is God's power to save all of mankind. Now, if we can fast forward 2,000 years and come to our day and our time and our land, I appreciate very much what Brother David was saying here at the table. Appreciate those comments very much. And by the way, he's got an excellent article in our bulletin today, and I hope that you'll take that and you'll read it and you'll consider it very carefully. But the idea that we as Americans, that Christianity belongs to us. No, we are Christians because of the gospel that was sent into all the world. American Christians have no advantage, no ranking before God any better than anyone else, and we do well to remember that. The gospel is for the whole world. But I want to tell you, in the process of getting the gospel out into all the world, the first place we take it is across the street. Take it to our neighbors. Take it to our friends. Take it to those who are closest to us. Why is it universal in nature? Why is it that the apostles were to be sent to all nations, to make disciples of all nations? Well, simply because God wants everyone to be saved. Well, that's the message we read in the Bible as we look through the Bible. The seed promise that was given in Genesis chapter 3, the promise that was given to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, that through his descendants all families of the earth would be blessed. Not just his descendants, but all families of the earth. We come to the book of 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. The Great Commission is great because it doesn't leave anyone out. All of mankind is to come. In the book of Revelation, at chapter 22, verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him who hears say, come, and let him who thirst come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter what language you speak. Whoever can be saved. That's what makes the Great Commission great. It's because it offers the promise of salvation to everyone. The church needs to be involved in the spreading of the gospel. That is true. The church is the pillar and ground of the truth. But brethren, I want you to think this morning about your own personal responsibility to take the gospel to those who are lost, to tell your friends and neighbors, to invite people to come to services with you, to ask them if they would like to study the Bible with you, to ask if they would like to read the Bible with you. There's some very non-threatening ways of inviting people and seeing what the level of their spiritual interest is. And we need to do that, just as the apostles did. We need to do that as well. Notice something else that makes the Great Commission great is that as disciples are made, they are to be taught all things that were commanded by the Lord. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20, after they've gone, after they've made disciples, after they've baptized them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, Jesus says, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. The process of making disciples does not end with baptism. Sometimes we have the idea that it does, but we know better than that. It doesn't end there, really. That's just the beginning. Now that they have been born again, they need to be grounded in the truth. They need to be nurtured and brought along and encouraged to develop just like one would do a child that was just born. There's a lot of similarity there between a new convert and a newborn child. They have to be taught all things. The religion of Jehovah has always been a taught religion. From the time of the patriarchs to the law of Moses, and even now in the Lord's church, it is a taught religion. We have to teach the commands of Jesus Christ. Unless new converts are grounded in the faith, they're going to fall away. The Lord knew this, which is why He gave this instruction. Unless new disciples are taught, the church is going to have a revolving door with as many going out as you have coming in. And so new converts have to be grounded. This commission is great because it allows for church growth to be maintained. The gospel is the means of making converts, and the gospel is the means of keeping those people converted to Christ. We get the idea sometimes when we look out into the denominational world, and this even creeps into the Lord's church, slowly creeps in, the idea of a nutshell gospel. And what I mean by that is people who say, oh, John 3:16, that's the gospel in a nutshell, that's all you need. John 3:16, all you need. Well, no, if John 3:16 is all that we need, John 3:16 is all we would have. Someone says, love. Love is all we need. Well, that's a hippie song. That's not the gospel. Love is important. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 John chapter 4, on and on we could go. Love is a major theme, but that's not all. There's more to it than that. Well, faith. You got to have faith. Faith is the most important thing. Well, faith is important, but that's not all. There's more to it than that. But think about the way we are as a society. We're beginning as a society. We like to get our information in sound bites, don't we? Little bits and pieces. Bullet points, right? And that's how we do. If you're watching the news and a news story lasts more than a minute, that's too long. You know, we're watching a show now. Or when I took journalism in high school, we were taught from the very beginning, you put your most important information right up there in those first two paragraphs, because that's all most people are going to read. They're not going to go any further. And we like the bits and pieces here. We like the sound bites. We like the little points here. And we begin to approach the Bible in that way, don't we? Oh, we want to boil it all down to just one passage or just one thing that's important. No, brother, we need to get away from that idea. It's all important, or we wouldn't have it. We need to learn it all, which means we need to teach it all. We need to teach the whole counsel of God. We need to teach new converts what the Lord requires of them. What we learn in the Great Commission is this. The gospel is for all, and we need all of it, not just one or two verses. The Great Commission is also great because it is perpetual. Think about this. The apostles are told to go and make disciples. You baptize them and you teach them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And what's the last thing he commanded them to do? Go and make disciples. And so one who is made a disciple is made to make other disciples. And so it is a perpetual command. And that's why we recognize this was given to the apostles, but it very much applies to us today. Because we have to take it and we have to go forward with it as well. What makes it the Great Commission? Because it involves all of what Jesus taught. It involves all of His teaching. It involves all of the Word of God. And there's one final thing. And that is the promise that lies behind all of it. That the Lord would be with them always. That the Lord would be with them always. This commission is great because it has a great promise. God has not wound up the universe and then let it go on its own accord. And so I've had that idea about God. You know, you go back and you study about the founding fathers. Some of the founding fathers were that way. They had the idea that God created it, but He's not really interested in what happens. He kind of wound it up, and He lets it go. And that's not what the Scriptures teach at all. This verse, Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20, is the promise of the providence of God being with us as we do what the Lord has taught us to do. As we pray for open doors and open hearts, the Lord answers those prayers in His time and in His way. But He answers those prayers. We're equipped. We've already seen how we're equipped to do this work with the gospel. But also as we go through experiences in life, we learn the most effective way to take the gospel to those who are lost. There's no hardship that we're going to face in spreading the gospel in which the Lord is not with us, answering our prayers and seeing us through this great work. In Acts chapter 18, the Apostle Paul was in Corinth, and he began to meet some opposition as he had in other places. But it says, Acts chapter 18, verses 9 and 10, "Now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision. Do not be afraid, but speak, and do not keep silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in this city." Think of the comfort and strength that that gave Paul as he was working there in that place. The Lord said, "I'm with you. No one's going to hurt you while you're here." Now, of course, he left and he encountered problems that threatened his life in other places. But while he was there, he had the promise from the Lord that he was with him, that the Lord was with him in that work. Now, we have no such promise that the Lord's going to appear to us and going to comfort us in a vision. And we ought not to look for one, because sometimes those people who look for it talk themselves into seeing it. And that's a deceptive thing. Instead, we need to rest on the promises that we see given to the apostles in Scripture, Matthew 28, Acts chapter 18, that God promised to be with them. But how can we know that God is with us today? Again, are we to wait for a vision from God? No, it's this simple. As long as we are doing the Lord's work in the Lord's way, we know that the Lord is with us. When we step away from the Lord's work and do something else, or when we try to find some other means to carry about the Lord's work, the Lord's no longer with us in that. But if we'll do the Lord's work in the Lord's way, we have the promise that He will be with us till the end of the age. What does that mean? In essence, it means until the end of the world. Because the gospel age is the last age of human history. After that comes eternity. So as long as this world is spinning, the Lord has promised to be with His people who are doing His work in His way. And that's part of what makes the Great Commission so great. It's given by a Lord who has all authority. It's universal in scope. No one is left out. Everyone can be saved through Jesus Christ. It includes everything that He has taught, everything that He's commanded. And friends and brethren, we need it all. And there is the great promise that underlies it all. He's going to be with us and help us as we are engaged in this great work. You know, the apostles had a great work to do. They were commissioned to take the gospel into all the world. But when you get to Colossians chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, the apostle Paul, who wrote the book of Colossians some 30 to 35 years after Jesus gave the great commission, the Apostle Paul says that the gospel's gone out into all the world. How did that happen? How did that happen? 30 to 35 short years, the gospel went out into all the world. They didn't have the internet, friends. They didn't have airplanes that would scoot someone halfway across the world in a matter of hours. They simply went out and began teaching. And that is still the most effective way of reaching the lost. All of us leaving this place and going and talking to those who were lost. Talking to them about their interest in spiritual matters. Talking to them about the Bible. Talking to them about their mortality and their need to think about eternity. Talking with people, bringing them to come and to hear, to see, to believe, to obey. And then themselves talking to people and bringing them unto Christ. We can all do that. There's not a one of us here that can't be involved in seeking and saving the lost. Let's get involved. Let's do our part. This is our turn to carry the torch. Let's do the best that we can to take the gospel out into a lost and dying world. We've been talking for a few moments about us taking the gospel to those who are lost. I wonder if there's anyone in our midst here this morning who is lost now. Perhaps you're not yet a Christian, not yet a child of God.
You need to become one. You need to come to Christ, understanding that He has all authority, understanding that He has the remedy for your problem. The gospel. He shed His blood to wash away your sins. Understanding that you may not know everything. No, you're going to be taught everything afterwards as time goes on. You don't have to know everything to become a Christian. You'll be taught afterwards. You just need to know what you have to do to become a Christian. And knowing that you've got God's help as you begin walking with Him as His child. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, repent of your sins. Confess His faith before us this morning and allow us to take you and baptize you in water for the remission of those sins. Everything's ready if you are. If you've been unfaithful to the Lord, come back to Him, brother or sister in Christ. Come back to Him in repentance, praying for forgiveness. We'd be glad to pray with you. Whatever your spiritual need is, we ask that you let it be made known by coming and meeting me right here as together we stand and sing this song.